up hoping for a championship in Cleveland. Our luck, Cleveland Cavaliers are the closest thing to it.
Amen.
Watch, they'll be at the final game in the final hour, and right before they win, the rapture will happen, and we'll never see it. Amen? And when we get to heaven, Jack, we won't even care. That's what's bad about it. I won't even think, hey, did LeBron make that shot and win it in the end? But until then, we're going to keep what? What's that? I hope he does. I don't know. I hope he's a saved man. I don't know if he is. It'd be wonderful if he was. And all righty. Turn your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Evangelist Rod Black and his wife, Deborah, are out in the local Baptist church this week. They're filling in for one of the preachers around here that needed, I think he just said he needed rest, and so he's filling in over there in Kent, Ohio, I believe it is. Brother Adams Church, and so you pray for them. Dr. Russell Anderson called me last Thursday, I think it was, and Thursday or Friday, I can't remember what day it was, and he's coming June 7th. Dr. Russell Anderson, the coal miner, from the coal mines to a millionaire, great Christian man, has helped build churches all over America, help Bible colleges. Great Christian man. He'll be coming to our church, and he'll be sharing with us that whole day. He's 78 years old. He's going to be up in Michigan. He travels all over America. He says, I said, we can meet you at Akron Airport. He said, I'll just drive. he said, For what it takes me to drive, why have all the fuss with the airplane, you know? Because when you think about it, you're going to be 2 and 3 hours on those planes going through all the checking and everything. And he said, I'll just drive there. So I'm looking forward to him being with us in June, June 7th. Then, of course, Dr. Bob Gray Sr. will be with us the 14th. So we've got two special preachers. No, Dr. Anderson's not a preacher, but we have two special men that will be with us in June. I hope you'll kind of keep those things. Russell Anderson will be giving testimonies and stuff like that. He'll be challenged us to give to God. And I think he's given around $39 million over his life. He told me, the one time he told me, he said, I'm hoping I can die bankrupt, broke. So I want to give it all away before I die. I've got him a Bible. I don't have one idea. I don't have him here to try to get any money out of him. I hope you understand that. My reason to write that letter was to tell him I appreciated him. Amen. Matter of fact, he's taken my letter. He said no one wrote a letter like I did. He asked for permission to use my letter to send to preachers. So my letter might be traveling around America. That I wrote to him, and I'm not wanting anything from Russell Anderson. He's done so much for God's work. I want to honor him when he's here.
Amen.
He's 78 years old. We're going to let him have the podium. He'll be a blessing to us. He won't be like Dr. Bob Gray, because he's not a preacher. But he's a man that's lived his life for Christ. He's given it all. He's given it to Christ. You're talking about giving. Kenny, that man's given over almost $40 million away. And he started as a coal miner. And so it's a great story. It's going to be exciting having him. I want you to be prepared. Because when he comes, I want to honor him. God knows I'm not wanting nothing from Dr. Anderson. God knows my heart. I really don't. I want to honor him for what he's done to help the cause of Christ. And so that's our goal. Because he's a millionaire. He can give us money. Well, he could give us, but that's not our goal. That's not our goal. Our goal that day is to be a blessing to him. And that was why I wrote the letter. I had no intention for anything. This has went way farther than I thought. Eddie, I just wrote him a letter and told him thank you for taking a stand on the King James Bible, and thank you for helping get the gospel out. He's helped 9 or 10 Bible colleges. He's talking the other day. He's down with Jeff Fugit, and he's helped 20. They've started 20 Bible Baptist churches down in Kentucky. I mean, it's untold what he's done. You know, he's helped Dr. Bob Cray. He's helped a lot of fundamental Baptist preachers. Okay, and the gospel's free, but it costs money to get it out. And every year he has. Just so he pays soul winners. He gives out $500,000 on salaries for soul winners. He hires soul winners every year. He has soul winners. All they do is soul win.
Amen.
That's how much he cares about people getting saved. By the way, Pastor Dave and them, we had 23 saved, the ladies and the men. We had 23 saved at the jail ministry. And then Pastor Dave preached a young man's funeral Friday, and I think he said there was 17 saved there. So, and we had one there. Then we might have had more, but Eddie, we had 41 that I know of. And and there could be way more than that, but I know we had in our outreach this week of our churches, of our outreach in our church, we had 41 trust Christ from our outreaches.
Amen?
Amen? That's what it's all about. And so, Amen. Amen. 42. Oh, I got 42. Who gave me 43? I got 42. Who gave me 43? 43. 43. 43. Anyway, praise God. And look up. That's what it's all about. I'm sure that's what it's all about. Getting people saved. The man you witnessed to, we didn't get no one saved this week, but we witnessed to a lot. And the one man in AutoZone said this. He said this to Rick. He said, "Something's been telling me I should go to that church."
Amen.
Before we went, you know, isn't that amazing? God's working in people's hearts.
Amen.
And so,
he said, "Something's been telling me to go to that church."
Yes.
He goes, "But something pulled me away."
Right.
That's
what I had in track. And some of these guys, you know, now they had some rough life, and now they're turning it all around. I mean, man, Rick almost looks like a preacher. Got the belly for a preacher and everything, you know. Got a preacher's jacket on. I mean, he looks like a preacher, amen. And or Mr. Clean, whatever one's Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean. But God's using their life. I look at Mike Sells back there, and I gotta get preaching, but. You know, Mike Sells, a couple years ago, you wouldn't even know. Now he's turned his life around. Mike Sells don't know. He don't know a stranger. Mike just comes up and starts witnessing to people, you know. And that's a gift, Brother Mike. That's a gift. But I'm glad you're back on the firing line for God.
Amen.
You know, Dr. Gray came and preached a message and just preached his heart, touched his heart, and turned his life around. And that's what it takes. Amen? Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 17. I can't preach long. My ankle hurts me too bad. Aren't you lucky? I can't stand up. I could always sit down though and preach. 1 Samuel 17. Here's the title, John. What giant are you facing? What giant are you facing? What giant? Let's stand for the reading of God's word. 1 Samuel 17, verse 4. By the way, this Wednesday I'll be preaching on angels again, the fourth lesson. What do angels do? I'll be giving that lesson. I have one more after that. We're going to have 5 lessons. And so I'll have the angels part 4 this coming Wednesday. Alrighty. By the way, the greatest book you can buy on angels, Dr. Lacey. Do we have any more of Dr. L. Lacey's books on angels? Okay. And it's no longer in print, but. If you have a book on angels by Dr. L. Lacey, don't get rid of it. It's probably the greatest book written on angels. And they're no longer in print. So what you've got is you've got a book on angels that cannot be replaced. Okay? And probably, Bobby, the greatest book written on angels. L. Lacey, Dr. Lacey, just profound in the scriptures. I'm glad he's our good friend. Amen? We talked to him just about a week ago. All righty. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Yeah, we're such a good, this church is so close. It's like we just come like a big family together and preachers talk to you. And I got to get preaching eventually, Brother Mark. We got to break this family thing up for a while. Choir, you're blessing me every week.
Amen.
Choir, you are just a blessing. Keep on keeping on. That is so encouraging every week to hear that choir. 1 Samuel 17:4. Look what it said. We're going to talk about that giant today. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. In other words, that guy is about 10 foot tall. Now let me show you how big 10 foot tall is. Cleveland Cavaliers have a man named Zagunas Augustus. Z is the easier way to say it. He's 7'3". This guy is about still almost 3 foot taller than Z. That's a pretty big guy. Probably where that picture is at the top of that, in the back where you walk out that door. What's that door? 8 foot? How tall is that door? What would be the facing on that door, Dave? 7 foot? 8? So he would be, he'd be in that picture. His head might be at the top of that frame of that picture. Can you imagine a guy standing there that big? Hello? Well, just about maybe about, I'd probably be, well, you're looking at me, I'm about 10 foot maybe. You build me up 5 feet here. But, and anyways, he's a big man. You know, when we face giants in our life, they look that big to us too, don't they? Well, look at also verse 16. You know, I'm just going to close with verse 4. Let me read that verse 4 again. And they went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. And Lord, I just pray that I could be a blessing. I sure want to be. Lord, these people all week long are facing trials and pressures and heartaches and sorrows and sickness. And Lord, they're facing temptations and all kinds of things. And Lord, they need something from heaven. Please help me to bring something from heaven today that would be an encouragement. Help me to be a blessing to their life. Come down. Lord, I can't bless them, but you can. Come down and meet with us. Holy Ghost, go up and down the aisles. Work in every person's heart here today. If there'd be any among us that doesn't know you as Savior, may they realize that Christ Jesus loves them. He's the answer to their life and for their eternal soul salvation. Help Christians today to face their, I know many of them are facing giants in their life. Help them to look at those giants eye to eye and take on those giants with the power of Christ behind them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Did you ever notice most people when they have to face a giant in their life? You know what they normally do when they have to face a giant in their life? They run and they have fear. And they try to hide. My dad, when I knew my dad was going home to spank me, he wasn't a giant, but in my eyes he was a giant. I used to run and hide in the closet. He'd come up. I hear him go up those steps. Where are you, boy? He'd walk in. He said, come out. You better come out. It's going to be worse. Okay, Dad, I'm coming. But we're afraid of giants. We're afraid to face them. Look at verse 24. Israel's no different than you and I. Or we're no different than them. They were facing giants before you and I are. And all the men, all of them, all the men, all the army of Israel, when they saw the man, that big giant, what did they do? They fled from him and were so afraid. Kind of like those three stooges. They're gone, man. They were afraid. And ladies and gentlemen, can I say something to you? When we face giants in our lives, usually we're afraid. Usually we try to run from it. When we have problems, we try to run, we try to hide, we try to deny it. But did you know something? If you look at verse 16, the sad thing is we can't hide from those giants, because when we do hide, they still come out every day. Look at verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. In other words, every day he kept coming out. You know what? I don't know what you're facing today. Some of you are facing some real trials. And you'll say, well, if I just don't do nothing, it'll go away by itself. No, it won't. That giant didn't go away by himself. And the giants that you and I face, they won't go away by themselves. You're facing, some of you are facing some real major things in your life right now. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to go away by itself. It just don't work that way. But there is someone, I know a giant killer.
Amen.
Brother Mark, I know a giant killer. And I want to try to lead you that, show you about that giant killer today, and try to encourage you to get with that giant killer, and not David. David had the same one help him that's going to help you. Amen. And David knew, by the way, and if you notice verse 29, David knew there was a cause. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? There is a cause to stand against those giants. There is a reason. There is a purpose. Listen, we just can't turn around and run. We have to face every giant that stands before us. Every problem, every heartache, every sorrow, every depression, everything we can. We have to face it. If we don't, just more will come. And it'll just keep raising its head. Hello, I'm still here. Are you with me? Say amen if you are.
Amen.
And so you got to determine in your heart there is a cause to take a stand. And David had a cause, and you need to have a cause. Verse 45, you know, and verse 46, look at verse 45. David did not come to battle the giant in his own power. See, that the reason we mess up a lot, we try to take on the giants of life in our own power. Look at verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, that big giant called Goliath, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee, what? In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. Who's doing the delivering? You ain't kidding. Now that giant you're facing, you can't face it in your own might. That giant that's trying to bother you every day of your life right now, you can't, you're no match for it. David was no, that little shepherd boy, he was no match for that 10-foot giant. He could have put wrapped David around his little finger. But yet with God behind him, little as much when God's in it. And David slew that, you know the story. Took a stone, just slung it, and put him in it, and dropped him, took a sword, cut. I'd love to see that. Ta-da! The kids would love that movie. You love because you like seeing people chop their heads off and stuff. Ta-da! Of course, the story, David took that, his armor, everywhere David went. Can you imagine how heavy that armor was? Think about how the armor of that giant, how heavy it was. And David, from that day on, David took that armor. Everywhere David went, he took that armor of that, because when he got depressed, when he got discouraged, Brother Bill, when he thought he couldn't win, he'd look at that armor of Goliath, and he'd remember the God of Israel.
Amen.
You see, look up here, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes in life, we forget we're children of God.
Amen.
Sometimes we think it's our battle. Sometimes we forget who really does the win, who really wins the battle for us. And you know, we can draw strength from God when we think about our past blessings and our past victories. And that was a constant reminder that God gives us the victory. Amen? I want you to notice something else. I thank God David. How many say amen that we're glad David defeated the giant? And I'm glad David defeated that giant and God got the victory that day. But David's not the only person that ever faced a giant. You and I have faced giants. Oh, maybe not Goliath. But you know those big problems we have in life? They're giants. They're large. They're powerful. They're scary. They're fearful. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
I watched that DVD that we lent out, and we're going to keep lending it out, called Facing the Giants. And they show a couple there, a born-again Christian couple. And in that film, they face some giants in their life. I just wrote a few down. I'm going to try to, I hope you can relate to them. I thought maybe you could relate to them. I know I did. Not, of course, not all of them, but some of the things are true. Eddie, first thing he showed that they had financial problems. They wanted to buy a new car and they couldn't. And the car they had wasn't running, kept stopping. Had all kinds of problems with it. You know, a lot of Christians are facing financial problems. Hello, we spend too much, we charge too much. Hello, are you still with me? We need to be more conservative. And I'll be honest with you, preacher was wrong too. But I'm down to one last lease car. I've got, and that goes June 12th. I'm glad I turned those lease cars in, and we didn't renew it. Matter of fact, I went and bought an old used car the other day for $1,000, and it's got new tires on it. It starts up, but it's paid for.
Amen.
Kenny put some brakes on it the other day. Him and Mike and Rick were working on it, and man, we put a new oil change, and man, I'm running down the road with my new Taurus, man, station wagon. I sold my truck. Brother Phil bought my truck, so I ain't got that payment. So, Brother Phil, I got me a mini truck in that station wagon. It's got three seats in it so I can bring Lukey and the grandkids with us. Amen? And it's paid for. I got the title. And no payment. And until this thing shakes off for about a year, if we're here that long, if the rapture hadn't, I'll be honest with you folks. You can do what you want, but I personally, I don't want to go in debt. That's my own. And if you want to go, that's fine. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you that General Motors is filing bankruptcy, Chrysler is filing bankruptcy, and we haven't seen it all yet. And by the way, that just doesn't affect just those men at work at those plants. This affects a lot of different ways. And so you just better be careful. You better be prudent in what you do and what you spend, because we might even have, you think it's bad right now. I'm not trying to bring dark clouds upon you. But I just want to tell you, I think Christians, we need to, and he wanted to buy a new car, this man. But the wife says, we can't. I don't want to make the payment. So listen to your wife sometimes. I wish I would have listened to her more often. Hello? Men, let me say something to you, men. A lot of times your wife's, God using like the Holy Spirit to try to speak to you. And because we don't listen to him at all. So he speaks to our wife, and she tries to tell us, you know. But let me encourage you, if you're going through some financial trouble, and by the way, a lot of people are in financial trouble, seek the Lord's face. And he'll help you, give you wisdom, and he'll help you how to try to get out of it. Then they had financial troubles. They had car problems, like I mentioned. I love that car. I used to have a car like that. He'd drive it everywhere. It always would start going, Eddie, but wherever he wanted to go home, that baby would not start. They had to get a jump all the time. You're going to crack up. You that watch that show, you're going to crack up. It's a tremendous show. And they finally get rid of that hunk of junk car, too. But anyways, I don't want to tell you the whole story. But anyways, then there was a terrible smell in their house. And they couldn't find it. I've ever had trouble in your house. Man, where's that smell? It's usually your husband's feet, but, you know, you can't say it. But get some air freshener, ladies. And put it right down there by where the shoes are. Put something in their shoes. And then not only did they have financial problems, car problems, they had a bad smell in their house, and they couldn't figure out what it was. The people were trying to get him fired on his job. Some of you might be worried about your job right now. He had physical problems. They wanted to have a baby, and they couldn't have a baby, and they found, he took some tests, and he found out he had some physical problems, and he couldn't have a baby. And you know what? Isn't that just like, these are saved people. Did you know saved people have problems too? You know saved people have heartaches like you do? Like, it's just not the lost people. These are Christian people. And that's what I want to get across today. Listen, we're saved. We're sealed until the day of redemption. But until redemption comes, till the trump sounds, we're in this world with the rest of the people. And we're going to go through suffering and heartache. We're going to have, we're going to get diabetes. We're going to get cancer. We're going to get Alzheimer's. We're going to get all, listen, we're subject to everything. None of us are immune. But you know what's great about being a Christian? Even though we're subject to all the things of the world, we have the creator of the world with us.
Amen?
Amen? And so, he had a physical problem. Some of his Christian friends turned their backs on him. Don't put your hand up. How many have been really broke? You had heartbroken. Man, I thought those were good Christians. They turned their backs on me. It hurts you. Not only when the world turns it, but when the Christians turn on you, it really hurts, doesn't it? And then he had his football team lost their star player right before the season started. He was counting on this kid to make him a winner. And the kid went to another team in the same league. Cut his throat. Man, are you with me? Everything in his life was falling apart. How many have ever thought you were in a place in your life where everything was falling apart? I have. I mean, especially when you're sick, you think, man. And not only that, you get rid of one, then something else comes, another one comes. You know, and you say, my lands. You know, it's a bummer, you know, being older, you know, because your parts just, you can't go down and get new parts, and they're not as good as the old ones, amen? And seems like we break down quicker than the other kids do. Lukey, he falls down, gets hurt. Next day, he's out running again. Grandpa falls down. He's out for 3 weeks. Stinking rotten kids. It seemed, though, like everything was going from bad to worse. How many of you ever had that? He felt like he was a failure. How many of you ever felt like you were a failure in life? I'm going to tell you, a lot of people feel that. And most, by the way, you're not a failure. You just think you are. And you, what happens, we focus on the negative instead of looking at the positive. And the most of the time when you're in that failure is because you're in depression and discouragement. When you're on top, you don't feel like a failure. It's when you're down in the valley is when you feel like you're a failure. Hello? How many are still with me yet? And he felt like he was a failure in life, and it seemed like there was no hope for him. How many of you have ever been when you say, man, honey, there's just no hope. We're done. How many of you ever felt that? Yeah, people do. And life looked very bleak. It seemed like there was no one that cared. And it seemed like there was no one to run, no place to run and hide to. I thought about that Psalms 142, verse 4. We use it for soul winning, but it could be used for Christians too. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. In other words, man, I reached out for help. I cried out for help, but no one heard my cry. No one was there to help me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of times in the Christian life, we think, man, no one loves me. No one cares. Not even God. I'm telling the truth, aren't I? If you be honest, some of you, I've been there in my life. I don't know about you, but I've been there. And if most of you be honest, there's sometimes in your life, you might not be there right now, but you have felt, man, everything's forsaken me. This last year, if I hadn't had bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all, Lizzie. I feel like Rodney Dangerfield. I can't get no respect. I tell you, I mean, I get the golden card, the Buckeye, the senior citizen card. Next week, I get my diabetes card. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm ready to send the golden card back. It ain't worth the 10%. Get rid of the diabetes. I mean, but it just seems like everything. Ruthie, it just seems like everything. Sometimes it's what we call hits the fan,
yeah,
or everything drops out, Andy.
Yeah.
Just like nothing. Seems like no matter what you do, boy, man, can anything go right? The dog's mad. The refrigerator breaks down. The stove won't light up. Hello? How many are with me yet?
Amen.
You hate your job and you're got bunions on your toes and it's just a bad way to go. And Ben Gay's not helping at nighttime to soothe those muscles. Listen, sometimes we think we're all alone. We really do. Sometimes we think that no one cares about our problems, even God. A preacher, God don't care about me. Yes, he does. He does care about you. You know when you think that God don't care about you, you know who's telling you that? The devil. Because God always cares about you. There's never a time that God does not care about you. There's never a time that you're not on his thoughts. The Bible says even God knows even when a sparrow falls to the ground. If God knows when a sparrow falls and he says you're much more valuable than sparrows, how much more does he care about you?
Amen.
If he cares about that little sneaky sparrow that's worth nothing, how much does he care about David? Are you with me? Just a little more, not a whole lot more. No, just kidding. Kidding. He does care very much about you, Dave. He really does. But sometimes we think we're alone. Sometimes we think no one cares about our problem. Oh, no one cares about my problem. I've told people, but no one cares. Hello? Am I getting home to anybody? Oh, I don't care what you say, preacher. Don't matter. I've had it with this stuff. It's all the same. I've prayed to God. It don't work. Even God don't care. Yes, he does. What do? We want to run when that giant comes. We want to run. We want to hide when the giant comes. We don't want to face our problems. We don't want to face those giants. We don't want to stand up against those giants in our life. We get stressed out. We get depressed out. We get fears. We cry a lot. Hello? And we withdraw. We withdraw. We sit in a room, look at four walls. We try to get away from people. Hello? Don't go out. Don't call. Don't collect. Hello? No incoming, no outgoing. No intermingling with the people. How many with me? Boy, we better watch it, because that's what Satan wants to destroy you. He can't get your soul, but he can get your life. If you are facing a giant today, let me give you this truth, and I'll be done here in a few minutes. If you're facing a giant, and some of you are, church decides someone's, if you're not, you're going to be facing one maybe tomorrow, the next day, or the next week. If you're facing a giant today, I want to tell you something. Don't keep running. Stop. Stop running from God. Stop running from the giant. Stop running from the problem. Be still. Let God work in your life. That's what this couple did in that film. The man just finally said, "That's, you got me, God." It's sad though, Eddie. We got to get knocked down, knocked out, up for the last time, and finally say, "Okay, God, I guess I'll listen to you now." Anyone know, am I preaching to a choir today? Hello? Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I'm God." That's the trouble. Look up here, Christians. That's the trouble with us. We go through life and we forget we've got a giant killer in our Savior. We're trying to take on all these problems. No wonder we're discouraged. No wonder we're depressed. No wonder we got fears. No wonder we're troubled. No wonder we're dismayed. We've got the giant killer, and we don't even go to him. We're trying to seek the world's killers. No, we need the real giant killer, the Lord. You're here and you're saved today. You got the Savior. You just need to run to Him. Stop. Be still. Just stop and be still. That's what this guy did. He just stopped. He just stopped. He quit doing it. He just stopped. I said, boy, that film was good. I said, they got it right. That's what you're supposed to do. Not many films do it right, and they did. They did do it right. And he just said, God, I can't do this. I really need your help. By the way, we need his help all the time.
Amen.
We never can do it without him. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. You know, most of our life, we run to and fro, and we're not even aware of God in our life. We get up in the morning, we don't pray, we don't read our Bibles. We don't think nothing about God. All we're thinking about is, can I get to the coffee shop and get a donut before I can get on time at work? Hello? Half the time you don't kiss your wife goodbye. You kick the dog out of the way or move the cat. I ain't got time for you today. Is anybody home? I'm telling you the truth, aren't I? Christians, listen to me. We need to stop and be still and know that our God's God. Psalms 46:10 says, God is our refuge. We're looking for a place to hide. He's our hiding place. We hide everywhere but there. Psalms 46:10, God is our 46:1. God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. He's there right now to help you. If you look up here, if you got a problem today, if you're discouraged, if you're facing, I know someone can help you right now. Not tonight, not tomorrow, not next week. I know someone to direct you to right now that can help you right this very moment. Rick, when you get overwhelmed with everything, you just got to stop, hit your knees, say, God, I can't go no farther. And God, I'm not going to go, Mike. God, I'm not going to go no farther. You've been hurt over. Say, God, I got a problem with those people. It hurt my daughter. Here's how you do it. You say, God, I can't go no. You pray and say, God, take this away from me. And take care of that problem. I can't take. And let God take care of it. You'd be surprised if we would do that, how much better our lives would be. Lord, I got a big job today, and I'm afraid I'm going to. I got to face it, but I don't want to face it by myself. Could you be with me every step of the way? Lord, this is important. I might lose my job, or it means a lot. Could you help me some way that I could face this big giant in my life? Are you still with me? God says for us to stop, to be still. Let me speak to you. Let me work in your life. Let me fight and defeat your giant. See, the trouble is, most time we don't let God work in our life. If we just stop, quit your running, quit your hiding, he's our refuge. Miss Mert, you got the problems? He's the place you want to go to. Sad part, we have that great refuge and most Christians never go there. Now let me ask you this question right before we close. What giant are you facing? What giant are you facing today? What giant are you facing? Are you facing a giant of financial problems? Well, why don't you seek God? Let him give you wisdom how to handle it. There's a way to handle things. Why don't you say, God, I don't have, the Bible says in James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Go to God and say, God, I need wisdom. Give me direction. Wait for him to give you direction. He will. You got a problem. It doesn't mean it's going to be solved that very moment. But one thing, he'll give you a problem. He'll solve it, and you'll be out of it eventually. Hello? Maybe you're facing a giant. Maybe your marriage is in trouble. I was talking to some couples the other day, and I was telling them there's over a 50% divorce rate, even in the Christian churches. There's a lot of troubled marriages.
I'm going to tell you why there's troubled marriages. Because those marriages aren't seeking God. Hey, fellas, when's the last time you got down and prayed with your wife? I mean, you and your wife got down. I heard of a family this week. The wife said, "My lands, he has changed unbelievably. We pray together now. We read the Bible together now." She said, I haven't had the husband like this in years. She says, man, it's phenomenal. And I'm really proud of that guy. But you know what? Look up here, you married couples. I don't care if you're young or old. The reason you got problems... You got problems because you're not letting God intervene. I'm going to tell you, you get down and pray together. You get down, read a few verses together. You'd be surprised how things change. Hello, it's quiet in here today. You'd be surprised how you'll start opening up, how things will start coming in, how you'll be more considerate for one another. Maybe you're a giant today as a troubled teenager. Or a troubled young child. Our kids are battling it. Teenagers and young kids, they're battling problems. Parents are pulling their hair out today. What hair they have left. Look up here. You can't raise that kid without Christ. You don't have the answers for that son or daughter without Christ working in your life. You need to get down as a couple and say, God, we've got a teenager. We've got a young person. We've got a young boy, a young girl. And they, Lord, we need wisdom. God, give us wisdom and the words to say and the right way to handle things so we can make our kid go the right ways. Because a lot of times we don't handle things right and we turn our kids off. I'm telling you, you got some giants that you're facing and you're facing them without the giant killer. You got a giant killer. David knew who it was. It was the Lord. You got a family problem? Bring in the giant killer, Jesus. Some of your faith and health issues. Especially when you get older. Even younger, though. Sickness don't have no age limit. You need to seek the Lord. Look up here. We can get better. We can get better. Annie, I had trouble. I had to be careful because when I was sick there, it just seemed like I couldn't get, man, I just couldn't come back. I beat one thing, then another one, then another. And I mean, you know what? You know what adversity is supposed to do? Make us better, not bitter. I'm supposed to draw closer to God, not farther away. Watch out. You got health issues. That means we got to pray more, seek more, draw call. Because I'm going to tell you, otherwise, we get farther from God. And that giant starts to destroy our life. Hello? Are you facing a giant of not knowing what God wants you to do in your life? Some of you don't even know what God wants you to do with your life. Some of you are walking around and don't even know what you are doing. By the way, in the health issue, Matthew 9:20. Remember the lady with the issue of blood for 12 years? She went to the giant killer, Jesus. Over in Mark chapter 9, verse 17, there was a man that had a son that was possessed. He had a troubled son. He went to the giant killer, Jesus. Hello? I thought about Zacchaeus, climbed up a tree to see Jesus come down. And Jesus said, "Come on down, Zacchaeus. I need to go to your home today." Now listen to me, God told me to say this. Some of you, I know Zacchaeus got saved that day. I understand that. And maybe you need to get saved today. Maybe you're seeking to see what Jesus, and he was. He's a little guy, and he climbed up a sycamore tree to see what he could see. And they sing about him in Super Church. But I thought of more than that, Annie. I think there's a lot of Christians today that are like Zacchaeus that need to take Jesus home with them. Some of you today, because Jesus said, today I need to abide in your home. And some of you better listen to me because the Lord put this in my heart to say to you. Some of you are wandering through life. Some of you don't know what you're going to do. Some of you are really in disarrayment right now. You really have no direction. And you need to hear the word from God today. He's saying, I want to go home with you today.
I want to give you some direction for your life. I want to give you some help for your life. Zacchaeus took Jesus home with him that day. And it changed his life. It changed the direction of his life. Some of you teenagers, you need to let Jesus take you, go home with you today. And let him change your life and the direction of your life. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
I'm almost done. Maybe you're fighting depression. Maybe you're fighting loneliness. That's rough. Depression's hard. And it's hard to come out of it. I've suffered depression. And I know several of you have suffered depression. And to be honest with you, folks, with the stress level people are going through today, depression's on the rise. And I hate to say it, Brother Bobby, but when we're depressed, I don't feel like reading my Bible. How many, I don't, Brother Mark, I don't feel like praying when I'm depressed. Hello? So I get more depressed, more discouraged, more let down. I'm more of a crummy husband, no good pastor. Hello? How many are with me yet? When you're that, then that's the most time that we want to. The Bible says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God and draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. That's when you just want to hit, just get down in your bed or lay in your bed and say, "Oh God, I gotta have you. God, please help me. Lord, I'm so depressed. God, please be the lifter up of my heart, be the encourager, be the light for me." And I'm gonna tell you, you'll do that. He'll pick you up. It might not be the first prayer. But by the way, that prayer will at least help you get a little more out of the shade of darkness. But if you'll keep seeking, He'll come. And He'll keep bringing more light. And eventually you'll be out of the darkness and you'll see the shadow behind you. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
And I close with this. Are you facing a giant of alcohol? Some of you got alcohol problems. That's a giant. You're not going to defeat alcohol unless you get God with you. Some of you get hung up on drugs. You take drugs, you can't defeat drugs and pornography. Some of you got pornography. You can't beat that by yourself. You're going to need the giant killer. You're going to say, "God, I cannot stop this on my own. God, the alcohol's got a hold of me. God, the drugs have got a hold of me. God, that filthy pornography's got a hold of me. God, I acknowledge it." See, first of all, you got to acknowledge that it's got a hold of you. Quit lying. It's wrong. It's evil. It's sin. Let's call what it is. God, this is wrong. God, this is not pleasing. See, God's not going to take you out of something you don't even believe it's not wrong. Hello? See, we got to call sin, sin. The reason people keep going on, they don't say it's sin, but it is sin. Once you say it's sin, then you can start dealing with it. God's not going to take it. He can't take it away if you don't. Listen, when I realized alcohol was bad for my life, I got the victory. Been over 40 years now. And I'm not proud, but after I got saved, there was a couple times I might have had one or two beers after, but like the first year after I was saved. I had a couple beers after I was saved. But it's probably been 39 years or more, a good 30-some years. I haven't had a drop of alcohol other than NyQuil that I didn't know was alcohol. Not 25% alcohol in NyQuil. Take those in high blood pressure pills. I was walking. I saw Tiny Tim and the Tulips playing the ukulele. Rosie said, "What happened to you?" I said, "I don't know, but man, I'm up there somewhere with Tiny Tim with the tulips." Because I hear the ukulele playing. She said, "Well, what'd you take?" I said, "NyQuil, and I don't understand it." We read it. There's 20, this is back when I lived in Toledo. Haven't had a drop of alcohol in me since I've taken the last drop of NyQuil. Mike Porter loved NyQuil. I don't know why, but he... He said, "Preacher, take that. It'll make you go to sleep." Yeah, it did. How many are still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
folks, Christians have these problems.
Yes, they do. We
have problems with alcohol. We have problems. Christians have problems with drugs. They have problems with pornography. We still have the fallen flesh. I know we've got the Holy Spirit, and that's the only way we can win. But we have a fault. The Bible says it's enmity. It means hatred against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, Romans 8:7. How many are with me? And so don't say, well, I'm saved, I'll never sin. You're an idiot if you believe that. The Bible says that we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. But he also said in 1 John 2:1, my little children, I say not to sin, but if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So we need to go daily and say, God, I messed up. Help me to get the victory over it. Am I making any sense to anybody today?
Amen.
So let's, and some of you don't know what the future holds. I'm all done. Some of you don't know what the future holds. I mean, you might have lost your job. You might have lost your job. If you have a job today, hold on to it.
Amen.
Unless you don't quit your job, unless you have another one for sure. Whatever, if you got a job, you hold on to it, because I'm gonna tell you, there's lots of people who don't have jobs. I'm 60 years old. By the way, I was telling Brother Bobby, Jimmy, I'm older than I've ever been. Jimmy, I like that. But Jimmy, I feel better today than I have felt in years. Brother Jack, since I've taken, God got that sugar in control for me, I'm a young guy.
Amen.
I mean this. You don't realize if I could just shake this ankle. You've got a new preacher.
Amen.
I am serious. I feel phenomenal. It says my ankle hurts me, but other than that, I feel tremendous. My blood pressure is good. Everything is good, you know. And then once this thing, or that bone, whatever it does, it ever heals, you know, then it'll be good. I'll be off and running again. But I get up in the morning now. I'm not tired. I don't have, you know, I feel fantastic. Dear Dad, I went to bed at 1:30, got up at 6:30. And went all day till about 1 o'clock that night. Feel tremendous, not even a nap in between. I'm feeling phenomenal. Man, am I glad I'm a diabetic. I haven't felt this good in a long time. Jimmy, this is the best I've felt in years. I'm actually getting to do some work around here. It's too bad to be a diabetic to get a job done. Let's bow our heads in prayer. You don't know what life holds. Some of you are afraid about the preacher. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Can I tell you? I don't know either. I don't know what the world's going to happen. I know what's going to happen for Christians. We're going to go up in the rapture with Jesus. I really don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds our future. And so if you're a Christian and you're really worried about that giant called the future, just run to Jesus. He'll let you know the future's all right. He'll take care of your future. You know, you're here today and you're never saved. You're lost. You're going to go to hell. Jesus came to, he died for your sin. He died so you wouldn't have to die and go to hell. He can defeat that. And by the way, that giant death in hell will destroy you, and sin, it'll destroy you unless you get the giant killer. And there's only one giant killer that can stop that, and that's Jesus. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you never asked Christ to save your soul, you need to do it today. You need to come forward and say, I want to go to heaven when I die. I need Jesus to save me. He'll do it. He'll save you today. He'll save you right now. He's a giant killer. Whatever your problem is, whatever your giant you're facing, he can solve that giant problem. What is your giant today? What are you fearing from? What have you been running from? Right before I pray, how many could say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, I am facing a giant. It might have been one of the things I mentioned. I might not have mentioned, but there's you say, pray for me. Yes. Yes. Oh, my. All, both sides. Oh, my. God bless you. There's so many. Half the congregation just raised their hand. God bless you. Almost half the people in this church raised their hand. You're facing a giant. Can I encourage you today just to seek the Lord? He's a giant killer. Let God work in your life. Stop. Be still. Just don't run to and fro. Stop where you're at. Let's say, God, I need you in my life. Oh, I can't go no farther. God, work in my life. Show me and direct me. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray. Yes, ma'am, I saw that. God bless you. Anyone else? I don't want to die and go to hell. Let's stand. Father, I pray you'll bless this invitation. I pray Christians will come and pray and start taking on those giants with you. They've been fighting without you. Today, I pray they'll stop and be still and know God and draw nigh to you. And I pray, I saw at least one hand. There could be more. I saw one hand that said they need to be saved. Pray that today would be salvation for them. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Sing, what page, Mark? 401. 401.